This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 57, with Brazilian digital content artist Lepe Freitag.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but others around the world. And every Thursday, we publish another conversation about what it means to live a charged life and how you too can capitalize on who you truly are. My name is JC Preston. I'm part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping creative entrepreneurs do passion-filled work and supporting a lifestyle that matches who they are. This session is powered by Fizzle. And whether you're thinking of starting a business, doing something you love, or just want some honest feedback on what you're already doing, Fizzle has you covered. As a beginner, you know that there's just so many things that you can be doing right now. Finding your first 1,000 raving fans, building your website, or you know, even starting your own podcast. Even just getting to know people that are doing similar work. Because let's face it, you probably don't have that much support in your everyday life from people that you already know. In fact, I just wrote a post about this. But there's also a thing on Fizzle called the Fizzle Roadmap. And it's a great tool to help you focus your attention on what you need to be doing in a particular stage of your new business. And on top of that, there's a huge library of videos that will help you along the way as you move from one phase of developing your business to another, particularly coming up with your clarity of what you actually want to do, moving on to growing your business as your sole income, and then scaling it bigger and bigger as your little small business now turns into a world domination empire. And even if you're an established entrepreneur, it's a really great place to meet people who are doing this whole online business thing. So if you're looking for a map to help you get profitable online or just want to get to know some really cool individuals, Fizzle is a great place to start. You can join now at newinceptions.com/fizzle and get your first 2 weeks free. And that's just actually long enough to try out one of their courses and get acquainted with the place and just kind of get an overall feel, see if it's something that you want to continue with. So again, you can go to newinceptions.com/fizzle and get started. All right, on this particular session of the AOL podcast, I'm going to be soloing with our guest, Felipe Freitag. He's a gifted talent that helps companies and other solopreneurs with their content, and right now he's doing this through crafting some drawings that aid with the message that the business owner is trying to convey through their products. However, this isn't actually his first attempt at starting a business, or is it the first time he's tried to make a business from doing artwork, actually. And as he explains in our chat, this particular business idea fell into his lap. And truth be told, sometimes if you really want to be successful, you have to go with what the market wants. You can't just, you know, build it and hope people are going to come. So yeah, in this chat, I talk with Felipe about how he got into doing artwork, when he knew it was time to pivot, why he's focused on providing this particular type of service, and what counts as good content marketing, actually. Show notes are available at newinceptions.com/57, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, JC, and I'm actually going to be hosting this one solo style. I haven't done that for a few episodes, and you know, recently I've been actually getting requests to have another artist on the show, and I haven't really had an artist since Session 32 with David Picuccio. And, you know, I think today's guest is actually going to fit the bill more towards where the podcast has been going, and definitely think you guys are going to get a few takeaways from him today. Felipe Freitag is someone I recently stumbled on when I was listening to another podcast, and he made himself known to me by actually posting some of his work in response to a Twitter thread promoting that particular session, and it really made me take notice. And you know, the truth is, though, is that this isn't the first time he's tried starting a business based on his artwork. And so today we're going to be talking to him about his path to this rendition of his business and find out a bit more about his work. So Felipe, what's up, man?
Hey, JC. Thanks for the invitation. I'm good.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me here.
It's the second day of spring down there in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
cool. Starting.
Cool. So you're actually are in Brazil, and you just recently had the Olympics go there. Were you anywhere near those? Did you get to enjoy that festivities sort of thing, or what?
Not really. I'm around 1,000 miles from there.
Oh,
in the south.
Okay, gotcha.
So I've seen the news, but pretty much like everyone else.
Oh, it's that place far away. So how big is Brazil? I mean, if we can compare, I guess if someone not looking at a map, but what would you compare it to? Any other countries that you can think of?
Well, it's pretty big. It has around 200 million people, and I don't know. It's not as big as the USA, but I'd say it's pretty close.
Yeah. Well, I had a friend of mine that back in the day I was actually playing video games online with. Michael Kahn was his name, and not saying that you would never know who he was, but anyway, it's like, again, not like it's a small town, but yeah, it was just kind of one of those places that I've always wanted to actually check out sometime and get down that way. But anyway, in the States, we have very formal education, and I was kind of curious, what was your education like growing up?
Well, I grew up listening pretty much the same as everyone else. That's okay, get your college degree, then think about anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's exactly what I didn't do. So I'm a college dropout. It's pretty common here to have college.
Uh-huh.
There are many and many colleges appearing every year. And I studied engineering, but I dropped out in the middle of the course because, well, I didn't actually like it that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I started believing I should do something I liked.
Mm.
And that was 8 years ago.
So what did you end up thinking that you were liking then?
Well, I had no idea at the time, mm-hmm. but I studied many things as not in college, but in small courses, workshops, and well, I've had many and many experiences like that until I found what I really like it to do.
Yeah, my story is kind of somewhat similar. I had the choice of going to do something that was in the artistic field because going through junior high, I actually did pretty well in art class, and then come to high school, and you know, I can either I can continue with the art direction, or I can start leaning towards science, which would then, you know, get me to more doing STEM stuff in college. And at the time it was like, okay, do I want to be an artist who might not necessarily mm-hmm. make money, or do I want to go the STEM route, which there's always going to be a need for, you know, technology based people, and specifically engineering was what I ended up going into as well with electrical. So
yeah,
that was the responsible thing to do, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, and I can't blame you too much because I, you know, I was, I, God, if I had known that college could have been something other than what engineering was when I was studying that, then yeah, I don't know. I might have been a dropout myself and joined all the Mark Zuckerbergs and all those people as well. But one of the things that you were actually mentioning to me during the pre-show is that you've been working on specifically trying to start doing your own businesses since 2013. What made you want to set out and do something on your own?
Well, I had that inner itch to do something. Since I was around 20. I don't know exactly why. I just know I had it. And I remember that when I was still in college, and nothing against engineering, I think it's great. Just that it didn't bring that excitement to me particularly.
Right.
And I remember, okay, this doesn't work. I have to find something else. And I wanted to do something that I wanted to build something. I wanted to have control over my time. I had other jobs after quitting college, and I didn't like spending time doing nothing in offices, you know. That really pissed me off. To use the technical term.
Oh, yeah. I feel it, though.
Yeah, okay, man, that doesn't work. I want to work on my own terms, even though I had no idea what that meant. And I think that was my main motivation until now.
Gotcha. So what were some of the first things that you tried doing when you were taking those first steps of doing something on your own?
Well, the first steps actually happened just before I quit the last job I had. That was studying visual thinking. I don't remember how, but I got a book and I started studying it. It said that I could use stick figures to communicate. I started using that on the job I had. In an office, people started liking it. And I saw that when in meetings, I got up, went to the wall, made drawings about what people were talking about. And it helped. So let's say that I planted the seed of that skill. And when I started getting confident about it, I just, okay, I think I can survive with this and sell something around this skill. Let's go. That was the first step.
Wow. So then you started doing workshops, and what other kinds of things did you start doing?
Yeah, I had some acquaintances that were in a co-working space, a kind of co-working space, more like a shared office. It wasn't a business co-working. It was a space that they had rented and had many people around. So I started going there. I talked to someone about my idea, and it was a guy who also had read the same book, so he got excited about it. He had experience about giving workshops, and I was completely starting from scratch. I had nothing. So we scheduled a date. We shared on our Facebook timelines, and we had half a dozen people paying us a few bucks for a workshop. We didn't even know what we were going to talk about. We had a book, and they were running through the book, and that was it.
Wow.
Those were my first $100.
Nice. Did they see the advertisement on Facebook, or where did they come from?
In this place that we were using, there were a few people around it, so there was a small community around 30 people that used the space.
Right.
So that helped because those people knew about it. We had a couple shares. Offered a preview to a group that was there. Hey guys, do you want to give us feedback? We'll give you a free workshop. They accepted, and so they have helped get the word out too. And that was it.
Wow. So you actually didn't have to put ads on Facebook. Wow. Imagine that. Yeah, so many people, anymore are just like, oh, I got to do all my ads on TV. No, you can still advertise in, you know, real circles, so to speak.
Yeah, it was to our friends and people who knew us, and that was it. First, cool. We had to get people who already knew us to know what we wanted to do. Mm. That was the very first step.
Cool. And then you used the space that was there and the space that you guys were already working in then, or did you do it somewhere else?
We used that same space. My first idea was to use my living room, mm-hmm. and put like 3 or 4 people. That was I couldn't fit more than that. Mm-hmm. But then when I went to that space, I saw that it was a possibility. It wasn't very expensive. We could just pay a percentage of the earnings. Mm-hmm. So that's what we used.
And that was your first success. Wow. Good job.
Yeah.
So growing up, I mean, did you ever have any look up to any entrepreneurs or any creators that, you know, made you think that, oh yeah, I can make a business doing artist type stuff?
I have always thought about making business, mm-hmm. doing some kind of business, because I didn't fit in the jobs I knew. So I had followed Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income for quite a few years, Seth Godin too. Mm-hmm. I read his blog for what, 10 years now? It's been a long time already. The Steve Camp from Nerd Fitness too.
Okay.
I mirrored a lot of what he did in his beginning, and I still, in fact, I'm a client of his now.
Oh, wow.
Nerd Fitness Academy.
Cool.
I would say that there are many other guys, many other lists, many other kinds of content, ebooks, teleseminars, and endless hours of studying until I decided to actually do something. Mm-hmm. But I'd say that the main motivators, the guys that I looked up to, were Seth Godin, Pat Flynn, and later Steve Camp from The Nerd Fitness.
Do you remember any in detail, like the first time, see, that you actually found one of these people? Like, oh my gosh, like you had that moment of that person is doing exactly what I'm trying. Like, I would be so interested in doing something like that.
I remember that it was a friend who showed me the link to Smart Passive Income. He was also interested in that kind of business. Mm-hmm. And at first, I just took a look and, oh, okay, I'll read it later. Mm-hmm. But when I actually started reading the guy and following him, he, I want to do that.
Cool. That's actually a pretty similar story to some other guests of mine. You also said that you do a bit of coaching with what you've done. I mean, what kind of coaching were you doing there, and who were some of the people that you were looking at working with?
My idea until the beginning of 2016 was to work with coaching. I had a NLP training. Really? Five years ago. Yeah. In fact, a lot of what I do today is thanks to the many trainings, small trainings and courses I took, and NLP was one of them. Mm-hmm. It really helps with consulting. And in fact, I think one of the things that motivated me to work on my own was when I found out about coaching around 10 years ago. I started reading about it and, hey, cool. You can actually work with that? I want to do that. So far, I have coached a few people on starting a business, or this year I have helped people who already have, who are already solopreneurs, who are starting their businesses, or who are in the feast and famine cycles. Mm-hmm. I helped a few people. Before that, I helped a few people who are just wanting to change careers and who are lost, like I had been before.
Right.
And that was before I decided to focus on the business I'm currently focusing in.
Okay. And you just saw that there was some money or some actual interest in what you had there. Is that what I'm kind of feeling?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So now that you're making yourself being known through these content marketing drawings, I've noticed that you've really then, and even what you're just now saying, that you've condensed your focus. For one, what gave you the idea that this was something that people really needed online, as not just like, you know, you said that you had done it in a conference room and then you started doing, workshops on it. Yeah. But why did you feel that with all the videos and everything that's already out there, why do you think that people would want something like this?
To be honest, I didn't. It was put on my lap. Mm-hmm. Because, like I mentioned before, my intention was to focus on coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined a coaching program this year to that would help me to build my coaching business.
Right.
And in this program, the guy saw the drawings that I made. And I had no intention of working with the drawings. I had the intention of using them as a support. And they kind of said to me something like, over the months, are you crazy? Why aren't you selling those? I want to coach people. But you have this amazing thing. No, you know, I don't know. Okay, do something about that. And then I decided to give it a shot. Okay, if they are saying, and those were both the instructors and the colleagues from this program.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to trust them. And I also had something inside me telling that I had still something to do about the drawings, that it wasn't over yet. So I put coaching on the shelf,
mm-hmm.
and then I started focusing on that. But in fact, the clients asked, it wasn't my idea.
Wow. That's cool. Real quick though, I guess here's something for how long does it take for you to, do like one drawing, for example?
It depends. If it's on my own, like I listen to one of your podcasts, I can make in a 1 hour podcast, I can make around 5 animated videos in almost in real time.
Mm.
In 1 hour later, I can have them ready to post.
Wow.
But when working with clients, it takes much more time, at least three or four times more time.
Mm-hmm.
to get it done, because I have to consider their audience and their brand and all that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
So when I make them just because I want to, it's much faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just learned that with clients, it takes more time.
Gotcha. So how does it take more time exactly? I mean, how do you match up what you're doing with their particular brand, for example?
Yeah. So to give us an example, when I just do it for myself, or just do it because I like the ones from the SPI podcast you saw.
Right.
I just do it to my taste. I get the things that I liked. I get the highlights that interest me, and that's it. So that's pretty natural at this point after some years of training. But when I am creating content for a client, we have to consider their audience first. Then consider what do they want with that particular set of content. Do they want to attract people? Do they want to put the word out about a new service?
Mm.
Are they trying to attract a particular person inside that audience?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a focus? And then, okay, what is the actual content? And help them create that too, because usually I have been working with people who mostly coaches,
mm-hmm.
and people who are experts in a kind of tool or a kind of process, and it's very hard to get them out of the process.
Mm.
and into the client and into their audience's minds. So that's most of the work.
Yeah. I could see the struggle there.
Yeah, creating the video after that's pretty easy.
yeah. Cool. So what is it? I mean, are you just basically kind of like how people you will use sticky pads to do drawings or animations? Is that somewhat similar to how you do things, or how do you go about, and how many, is it all on paper? Is it all online or all on your computer? Or how's that work?
Oh, when I'm doing just the first drafts, mm-hmm. or just brainstorming, I use a whiteboard. I have a small whiteboard that is a little bit bigger than a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that. I use paper too.
Mm-hmm.
And after that phase, and after it's approved, and after we have a concept, then I usually move either to the iPads.
Mm-hmm.
I use there are pretty good soft drawing softwares there.
Oh, so like the new Pro then sort of thing?
I use the Procreate.
Okay. But is that an iPad Pro or is that an older iPad?
Oh no, it's on I have an older iPad, but I want an iPad Pro.
Okay.
If anyone wants to give me one.
Well, I just said I'd noticed that with that iPad Pro that it is something that they actually suggest you can do is draw now. And I didn't know if that was just a new functionality or, you know, people still did it with older ones. So I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, I have an iPad 3. It's my faithful companion for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
almost. And in fact, fun fact, I draw with my finger. I don't use a stylus.
Wow, there you go. And what'd you say the app was called?
The app that I use now is Procreate.
Procreate. And then you can do animations there on that, I guess, or how's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I make the drawing, and it has layers and many other functionalities.
Okay.
And then I can just export a video with one touch. It's pretty easy. Then I just edit the video in the powerful Windows Movie Maker.
Cool. So if I'm understanding the process of just doing an animation, you basically draw separate. Is it one document or one, like, one file, and then you have different layers, or is it one layer over to your over to window or to the Movie Maker, and then you take another picture Movie Maker, another picture Movie Maker?
No, the Procreate records the drawing. So it already exports a video of the drawing. Then I just use Movie Maker to add the background music, to stretch the video, because usually it's only 2 or 3 seconds long.
Okay.
I can edit, I can add a call to action in the end, add words and all that.
Wow. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of curious on how that works, because I'm sure some people are going to be like, how does he make that? So cool. So moving on here, I mean, now that you're focusing on one particular thing, which is, again, focusing on just making animations for clients, what kind of flexibility has that given you in other areas of your business that you might not have had?
First,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's a great relief to have the foundation of my business done. That means I know what I'm selling. I don't have to create it again month after month.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. I know what I'm offering. It's just about creating. My creativity can go to getting clients.
Mm.
So I don't have to worry about the inner part of the business. So before it was like, okay, maybe next month I'll do a workshop, or the next month I'll try to get a speaking gig. Oh, next month, I'll try to get one-on-one clients. Next month, I'll try to sell an online course. So now I know what I'm selling. I don't have to think about that. It's just about, okay, I have this. how can I package it? How can I try a new way of showing it to people? How can I refine the message that I already have so I don't have to start from scratch over and over again?
Right. Gotcha.
The downside is that I'm not experimenting anymore. So I am saying no to ideas and opportunities for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important that it took a few years to get here, because I know that like last year I still wanted to experiment. I didn't want this kind of focus yet.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And it's good for you to make that a realization. So, but, so before we go into how people can improve their content marketing, because that's something that I do want to talk about, what's your take on why people wouldn't actually need it in the first place?
Well, looking from the consumer perspective, I don't remember the last time that I connected to anything on the internet that didn't have a personal touch.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that I buy, that I read about, that I connect to, it has to have a personal element. It has to have a voice. Like if I want to know anything in depth now, I will go look for a blog. I'll go look for a videocast. I'll go look for something like that. I won't go look for a catalog to buy something from a random big store.
Right.
Even if it's on a recommendation for a book on Amazon, I will want to know who is that guy, who is the author. Content comes into play in that sense of creating a brand, but more than a brand, you create a history of who you are.
Right.
And that's out there for everyone to look at.
And to build trust with, right?
Yeah, it's the way of showing what you know, showing who you are, showing, giving something so people can start trusting you, knowing you, you know.
And some examples that are out there today, what would that be? What would those look like?
I think the very Pat Flynn is a great example and an advocate for that. Because if you go take a look at his website, he has pictures with his children. He shows that he is a family guy. He shows his values much more than having his values printed somewhere. You can feel his values by the way he posts.
Right.
Another guy, I think the one of the biggest guys who advocates that is Gary Vee.
Yeah, yeah.
He's insane. He's completely different in a completely different way from Pat. But when you look at him, looking at both of them, I have the thing. Okay, it's as if I know these guys, even though I have never talked to them before.
Right.
But I feel like I know them. You know, okay, those are those who are who they are.
So common mistakes when people are making to more or less when they're trying to emulate Pat or Gary, what are some of the things that you see that are like, yeah, that's not done right?
What I see from my own experience,
yeah,
by trying to do that.
Like
years and years following mainly Pat, and I just need this one idea. Okay, I know everything I have to do. I just need an idea to start. Wrong. I just had to start.
Mm-hmm.
So waiting for the idea is a big problem if you don't have a business yet. But for people who already have businesses, is to polish too much. Both with myself and my clients, I see that it's hard to really show who we are when creating anything.
Yeah.
Even more when it's about our business. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm a relaxed, fun guy, but business. Oh, business. So I have, now I have to put the tie and show that I am a serious guy, that I'm
dependable. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that usually happens.
Well, and you know, it's so funny you mentioned that. I was actually just at a luncheon earlier before I got on with this. And it was just kind of interesting to me, like, how different, like, those of us who, not necessarily the millennial world, but yeah, online business in general, seems to be much more casual than your typical business, like, your local business, you know? It's like your local business is all about the suits and the ties, and maybe if you're lucky, if you happen to live somewhere that's either tech oriented, like they have a tech startup area, or maybe if you're like up here, you could be from like Portland, Oregon, where maybe you're actually dressed, you're too dressed up if you're wearing jeans, a nice shirt, and you know, some sort of blazer sports jacket, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I completely agree. That happens. And the thing is that even if we don't know, like, okay, it's completely casual, but once it happens to me all the time, once I sit down to write something for my business, there comes that, oh no, this is too informal. Oh no, this isn't giving value to the audience. Oh no, this has to improve. Oh no, and I help my clients with that all the time. Yeah. Because in a sense, the animations help with that because they are they add a light tone.
Right, right.
I was talking to friends, to a mastermind group about this exactly. Okay, I am like this when I talk to people, people get it. But when I sit down to write something, it looks like a machine is writing.
Yeah, yeah, right. So how have you gotten over that?
Well, having someone to write with you helps.
Yeah.
I really don't know a way of doing that by yourself. Because having someone, even to have a conversation around the topic and then have it transcribed, or having someone to read it, helps break the ice, helps get clues, and helps stay away from the overthinking, and and practice too helps a lot with that.
Yeah,
but it's about finding your own voice, right?
One thing
takes time, takes practice.
Yeah, one thing that I've heard that actually helps quite a bit is by if you are writing like blog posts, for example, is to write in a very step by step manner. It's like, say specifically what you did, and not pie in the sky, but in a step-by-step manner to get to the point of your post, right? So that way you're making it simple enough that anybody that's reading it can understand it, but people that want to get the specific results can still get those results.
Yeah. Completely agree. And I'd also add that we are too used to using writing. And for myself, for example, I found out that the easiest means for me, for myself, to create anything is by scribbling and taking notes and making visual notes. For other people, it will be speaking out loud, recording something. For other people, it will be talking. For other people, it will be writing. So even if the purpose is to have written content in the end, it doesn't mean you have to start by writing it.
Mm, yeah.
You can start with other means that are easier and then move to the written part.
Yeah. Just in kind of a point that I've heard is, write the steps that it would take for you to turn on an engine for a car and get going, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you basically say, oh, yeah, get in the car, put the key in, and turn on the ignition and go? No. You have to step up to the car, open the door, sit down in the car, take out your keys, put them in the ignition, turn to the right, and see, that is that kind of writing. If you use that much detail, and I was only halfway through the situation there, if you use that much detail, then you're going to have much more useful posts, really. If you're doing how to doing how to video or posts and videos. So,
yeah. And I'll say, learn by trial and error. Put it out there. Content is all about consistency. So being out there sometimes is more important than having something very, very, very good or very polished.
Right.
Depending, of course, on which level we're talking about. If it's about starting or if it's about also establishing, or depending on, it depends on the stage of the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and early on, I mean, one of the things that I noticed that I think a lot of us have heard of Amy Porterfield, for example. She started a podcast a couple years back, I want to say at this point. And she, in her first couple of episodes, you can tell that it was highly, I mean, you can't really tell that it was highly edited. But you really didn't necessarily have, there were no ums, there were no uhs, there were no, you know, natural speak in it. And it really came off as, like we were, like you were saying, being very mechanical. And that's definitely something that you want to avoid. So, yeah, that's totally true. So, I got one more question in regards to your content here. What makes your drawings different than the ones that we occasionally see on YouTube versus where you have, you know, a hand that's going through and like scribbling all this stuff, because that's really the only kind of animation that you would see that a lot of people use as content marketing regularly, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have two answers to that because I also do the ones with the hand animation. The first answer is that my focus is not on the quality of the video.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we need a minimum quality. We need a set level of quality. But my focus is on speed and interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So to get it out, to get it in front of the audience and see what happens and then do it again. And the second answer would be that it's not that different. The only difference is that I have my own way of showing those.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have my own way. I have my own way of interacting with my clients, and each one of the dozens of the other companies that are out there also have their own ways. So I know that some people will prefer my way, others will prefer their way.
Well, I know for one that I would prefer your way. Well, I was just going to say, I know that I'd prefer your way because I know the secret behind those videos is actually that there's a program that you draw what's the program's going to draw, and then it like does that stuff automatically. Yours, on the other hand, is all actually sketched and thought out and just like almost as old time animation as you can get. It's not just this fake hand that's flowing across the screen and, you know, like suddenly like, you know, where you'd have some sort of robot drawer, like, zzz, 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 and that's like a Mona Lisa. Zzz, 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 that's like another Picasso. Zzz, zzz. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. But with yours, you can tell that it's real and that, you know, it's to the point too. So.
Yeah. And that is pretty much about style. What I see many people who entrepreneurs who come from the arts or who have a specific skill
mm-hmm.
is that they want to sell that skill. So like you just put on Fiverr, whiteboard video or animated video, you have a dozen for $5. But that's selling the skill. I'm not interested in selling videos. I'm interested in helping my clients get to their audiences.
Mm-hmm.
That's the videos are just one of the means I do that. I can use any other means. Maybe eventually I will stop making videos. I will use something else to do that. And for me, the main thing, of course, the videos are important. They are the synthesis of a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But the process of discovering who are their audiences, what does their audience want, what is their message? This is a long process. We have to think a lot about it. We have to explore a lot. And in fact, people learn a lot about their own business when they do that. So for me, that's the fun part of the videos. The rest is about, okay, now let's take 10% of all this world that we explored and put it in a video. Mm.
So kind of look into the future here. Now that you have this essential part in place, do you think that you can actually use this to leverage future? Like, what are some of the things that you'd want to do in the future that you can now talk about now that you've actually had success with this?
Well, now I want to get to a place where I have consistent clients. Mm-hmm. I've already had my first few. I'm working with them. It's been great. And now I want to actually get good at marketing, because marketing is a big world. So marketing systems and do teleseminars, experiment with many different strategies to have this consistent flow of clients. Mm-hmm. And while I do that, some things that I'm looking into is to develop my art further. For example, I'm taking a comics online course now. It's being pretty cool, and it's nice because it refreshes my ideas for the videos too. I want to play with GIFs and other media besides videos.
Mm-hmm. Like GIFs from movies or what? Or just your own GIFs?
No, from my own. Okay. From my own drawings. So
okay,
like,
gotcha.
Instead of making videos, making animated drawings, but from GIF.
Okay.
GIF
art. Well, I was just thinking maybe you could start doing memes, you know, from like movies that like make it relative to the content. That'd be cool.
The thing I really want to spread while I was exploring the art, my art and my business, is this personal touch of business, of inspiring other people to explore their personal touch, to have fun while doing it, and to use whatever is their special superpower.
Awesome.
Like, for some people it's fun, for others it's care, for others it's safety, I don't know. So really tap into that and use whatever it is. I would like to do that.
Cool. So, closing on to quarter to the hour here, so let's kind of go into the rapid fire questions. Are you ready, sir?
Sure.
All right.
I am ready.
Let's get to the first one. The first one is, who are three influencers or teachers that have put you where you are today?
My father, first one. Mm-hmm. A few years back, when I told him I wanted to be a coach, he said, well, okay, maybe you need more life experience. I was like 20. And then later, when I said I wanted to quit college, he said, okay, you have a spark on your eyes. You seem to know what you're doing. Go for it. And then when I, even later, when I was at a job that I was just pretending to do something mm-hmm. useful, yeah. he looked me into the eye and said, okay, what are you waiting for? And then I quit. So
yeah, no, that's
my father is one of
yeah. Better do it now, while you know still have some freedom in your life, as opposed to later, where everything builds on on a foundation that you don't necessarily like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Brené Brown was a big influence too. Mm-hmm. She is a researcher. She has famous TED Talks about vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And great books too. I didn't meet her, but her TED Talks made a great impression on me, and I love the book that I read too. Helping me realize that, yeah, vulnerability and showing myself is a life journey, something to learn and to nurture. And that's the way to go. And that was the way that I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the third one would be Seth Godin, because I remember reading his Icarus Deception when I was just starting to work on my own. And then last year reading another of his books, and it seems that there's always a Seth Godin book for the time that I am in. So I'm really grateful to the thing that he publishes.
Who are three top favorite podcasts you can tell others about?
Right. So Smart Passive Income podcast.
Yep.
That's one that whenever I just go choose at random and play one, I know that I won't regret.
Usually the one thing that I have to worry about with Pat anymore is, like, now that I've kind of started implementing just-in-time learning, it's like,
yeah,
where do I put this information?
Yeah. Yeah. The danger is to get to drown in information.
Yeah.
I'm not a very avid consumer of podcasts, so mm-hmm. Can I mention a non-podcast?
Yeah, sure.
I like to check Gary Vee's videos.
Okay, I think that counts.
Yeah, because it's regular, you know.
Yeah,
and it's interviews, so I like to check that mainly when I need a punch in the stomach.
I don't think you're going for a punch in the stomach. You're looking for a kick in the butt, because a punch in the stomach is going to be like, oh, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes feels like that too. There's a podcast that I like. It's from Bill Barron, Big Shift podcast.
Okay.
He's the guy that, I am in his coaching program.
Okay.
Now it's a 1 year long program. So I would say that his podcast isn't exactly the way I love podcasts, but since I know the guy, I know the personality behind that.
Okay. Cool.
So I like his advices too.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to check out that one for sure, because I haven't even heard it. So what?
It's a little bit salesy to my taste, to be honest.
Yeah, but at the same time, I listen to, we have a AM radio here up in the States still that people listen to on a regular basis. And even on the weekends when no one's listening, supposedly, they put up salesy sort of podcasts. So I can deal with it. I'll listen to a few of them. So what do you think the secret to achieving personal freedom is?
The thing about personal freedom is that you start having it the moment you believe you have it.
Yeah.
Like, it took me quite some time to realize, hey, I am free. I have been for quite a few months and I didn't realize it before. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many people that are like just trudging along, and they're expecting to be given things by society. And then you just have that, you know, those of us who are lucky enough to be creators or turn to be creators, you know, we're just like, why don't we just grab it? Like you just said, you know, just start doing something.
Yeah. Like, and it depends on what personal freedom is. Some people have personal freedom with 9-to-5 jobs and big families and lots of responsibilities, and that's their freedom. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Nice. What is something you believed as a 25-year-old that you'd tell yourself is completely wrong, and why?
Well, it was 6 years ago for me. So my 2010. Wow, is that already?
Yeah, it is. It is. Believe it or not.
completely wrong is that I needed someone at that point. I believe it that I needed someone to point the way to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that. That's the reason I wasn't free at that time.
Yeah.
So I would say that that's completely wrong because I had, in fact, instead of waiting for someone to point me the right way, whatever that means, that I had to find the right way for myself and for whatever made sense for me. And no one could tell me what that was.
Yeah. And again, waiting around for someone you thought was, you think is more or less what we're just used to at that point, right?
Yeah. And in fact, I had dropped out of college, so I was lost. And then I found someone who I looked up to, and I was expecting that person to tell me what to do. And well, it doesn't happen like that, my friend.
Yeah.
It
doesn't. Nope. How can you be of value to me and not necessarily how can I be of value to you was probably what he was thinking. All right.
So. Yeah, something like that.
If there was something that you thought all high school students should know, what would it be?
Completely biased opinion, but well, opinions are biased. I would say that practice visual thinking.
Mm.
Because there are so many people who could be excellent at it, and really, it could make so much easier to study for high school and to study anything later on.
Mm-hmm.
That I would make that one of the priorities. Like, it's just quite simple skill, and it makes a huge difference for anything that you'll do before later.
What is visual thinking for people who don't know?
Most people know something around mind maps.
Mm-hmm.
So visual thinking is just using simple forms and using your visual senses and drawings and stick figures to organize your thoughts and to put things on paper. Because we are crippled when we are young, we stop drawing and start only writing. And if we just kept drawing and writing, it would be so much easier to think and to communicate and to have ideas and to work and to study and everything. I'd be a big advocate for that.
Wow, cool. What do you think it means to live a life of abundance?
I like the definition from Brené Brown that instead of thinking about scarcity and abundance, we could think of what is enough. So I think that a life of abundance is knowing what is enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when I know what is enough for me and I can reach that, it's so easy. It's so much easier, and it's so freeing, and it's so lighter. And
then thinking that you have to be Gary V and own the Jets, right?
Yeah, well, maybe for him that's
right.
That's he's enough. But I know. I think that living a life of abundance is knowing what is enough, and knowing what isn't enough.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Like having a business where I am right now isn't enough. I need more.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But having having one dog is enough.
Well, I'd have to actually say having two is enough in my case now. Oh,
yeah. Perfect.
Yep. But because you got to keep the first one sane with another one. Otherwise, the first one's going to be constantly trying to get your attention. But that's my personal experience now.
Yep. Someday I'll try that.
There you go. If someone is trying to get a business going that might not be working and they're not necessarily aware of it, what are some steps that they can take to find out what they really should be focusing on?
I'd say don't try to do it by yourself.
Mm.
Like get some help. Like whether it's a partner or talking to other entrepreneurs or even professional coaching. I took a big leap this year in investing heavily in coaching, and it's totally paying off.
Mm-hmm.
at least for the peace of mind and for the all the systems and everything that comes.
Yeah.
I'd say get help, because there are so many variables. There are inner variables. There are so many business systems. There is an overload of information, and it's so easy to drown in all that. Get help, whether it's for the business part or it's for the inner part.
Right.
Don't do it alone.
Which are both,
even if you have to.
Yeah, which are both equally as important, right?
Yeah, like for me, the inner journey started long before the business journey, mm-hmm. and it's still going.
Nice, cool. So, Felipe, where can people find you if they want additional help or maybe seek you for your awesome skills or what?
The easiest way. On Facebook and on Twitter and on my website, those are all means that I'm always on.
All right, cool.
Yeah, I think it's easier to have on the show notes, but philippefreitag.com, that's it. Not that the English speak Portuguese or English speakers will be able to understand that.
Right.
It's a German surname with a Portuguese first name. It doesn't help.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Felipe. Well, definitely appreciate you being on today's show, and looking forward to your continued success.
Thank you, JC. It was great talking to you, and I also hope that your interviews and podcasts and other ventures get really successful.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Felipe. Lots of things to think about for artists and solopreneurs alike. If you're an artist, do you know anyone that could use your help with their content? Or if you're a solopreneur, are you providing content for your business in the ways that we talked about on the show? Remember, good content builds trust. And the more trust someone has with you, the more likely they're going to utilize your services or buy your products. If you want to connect with Felipe yourself, remember that all the information is available at newinceptions.com/57. Show note extras for this session include some of Felipe's work. Besides the short that got me interested in him, I also have a short that he did for one of Gary Vee's talks. And speaking of Gary Vee, I have a video of Gary talking about why he still does long-form content marketing himself, even though a lot of marketers say that you want have completely short videos on YouTube anymore. And Felipe spoke of a gal by the name of Brené Brown and her talk on vulnerability. And in case you don't know what that talk was, because I actually hadn't heard of it, I've included that as well so you can get the chance to see that without cruising all over the net for yourself. So again, thank you so much for joining us today. If you've been listening to the show for a while, let us know what you think. Leave a review on iTunes or, send us an email. And your suggestions for guests or improvements at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, don't forget to look us up on Twitter and Facebook. And next week's chat, Leah and I get the opportunity to chat with Danielle Watson. And Danielle has been featured on numerous media outlets across the country, including John Lee Dumas' show, Entrepreneur on Fire. Most of those were promoting what she called the purse process, where she could basically tell you about a person by what was in their purse. In our discussion with Danielle, we chat about her rise in popularity, the drama that surrounded her TEDx presentation, and also plenty on her college years when she stuck out like a sore thumb to her peers. So come back again for that one, as I'm sure it'll help you realize that the struggle is real on every level of success. And not just as a beginner. So that's it, guys. Thanks again for joining Felipe and myself. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care. We'll see you next week.
For listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.